All right, welcome to this special report on why Trump has already lost the war with Iran. I'm Mike Adams, and thank you for joining me. I'm going to explain that provocative title to this in plain language here. So what do I mean when I say Trump has already lost? I don't mean that he has necessarily militarily lost, that the U.S. military is, of course, extracting a tremendous amount of damage or causing damage to Iran, and they can destroy a lot of surface buildings. You know, they're mad bombing Tehran right now. They assassinated the leader, the Khamenei. They've killed a lot of other leaders, etc. The U.S. can do a tremendous amount of damage. However, the U.S. loses no matter what happens from here forward. And that's what I'm going to explain in this podcast. The U.S. loses, and also the Gulf states that are allies with the U.S. also lose, and finally, Western economies also lose big at the same time. So Trump loses no matter what happens. So let me step back and explain this. First, I want to show you this infographic called the Timeline of Iranian Strikes in the Gulf Region. And it starts in 2024, but we're going to focus on just the last few days in February and March of 2026. As you can see from this infographic, on February 28, the first targets from Iran were U.S. military bases across the Gulf states and U.S. radar installations, including that now infamous $1.1 billion radar installation that had a 5,000 kilometer range. It has been destroyed. Other radar installations have also been destroyed. And Iran was using ballistic missiles and just simple drones, low-cost drones, in order to take out these targets, which have blinded the United States military in the region. It has destroyed the 5th Fleet headquarters, at least that's what is being largely reported. And it has discredited the U.S. in terms of the whole idea where Gulf states would invite the U.S. to have a military base, thinking that there would be some aura of protection. That, oh, if the U.S. is here, then we'll be safe. Then our cities won't be bombed, you know. That the U.S. will defend us against Iran. Well, that didn't happen at all. In fact, Trump has basically told them all, you're on your own, and we're just going to get more ammunition for Israel. And see, that right there is the first loss that Trump has already been handed. It's the loss of American credibility in the Gulf states. So even if the United States defeats Iran kinetically or militarily, even if U.S. troops occupy Tehran, which seems incredibly unlikely, by the way, but even if they do, the Gulf states have already learned that it's a horrible idea to have U.S. military bases in your countries, and that the U.S. lied to them about offering protection. But that was just the beginning of what Iran did. From March 1st through March 2nd, that is referring back to the infographic here, Iran shifted its strikes to focus largely on infrastructure targets. So in Saudi Arabia, it struck energy facilities, that is oil and gas infrastructure. Although, by the way, for the record, Iran claims that it did not strike those facilities. And some people think it might have been Israel striking them as some kind of a false flag to turn Saudi Arabia against Iran. But I guess we'll never know. Nevertheless, in Qatar, it's very clear that Iran did strike the gas production facilities, as well as civilian infrastructure, including hotels and the main airport there as well. In the UAE and Kuwait, there were explosions in cities. Ports and airports were targeted, and this was all carried out using drones and missiles. So what's happening here is that Iran is targeting, number one, energy infrastructure and transportation infrastructure. Got it? So in essence, Iran, you know, shifted from hitting U.S. bases and military targets and radar targets to now striking infrastructure of the energy economy and the transportation system surrounding that. What does this do? This denies the Western world access to the oil and gas that comes out of the region. So this is asymmetrical economic warfare. This is 5D chess, you know. For all the people that claim Trump is playing 5D chess, no, he's not. Trump's actually being very stupid about this, because I don't think he's considered any of these long-term effects. the real strategy is being played here by Iran. And you can see it in this infographic, how they shifted then to infrastructure targets, knowing that this would cause a huge economic cost to the Western world, which would result in massive pressure from countries like the United Kingdom or Japan or Taiwan or South Korea, a lot of pressure, even maybe France, to pressure the United States to stop this war. Because especially Western Europe can't handle the loss of all of this energy flow, especially since the U.S. blew up the Nord Stream pipelines a few years back to cut off Europe from Russia. If those pipelines were still in place, then the shutting of the Strait of Hormuz would not be a critical emergency for Western Europe. But since the pipelines were all blown up by the U.S., Western Europe is really screwed here. They do not have good sources of energy available. And as I talked about in another report, that also means they can't manufacture fertilizer as with the same cost efficiency as before, because the gas prices are now over 50% higher in Western Europe, which means that fertilizer is going to go up maybe 50% or more, because, you know, gas is the single most important cost input into ammonia, which is the precursor to some of the fertilizer chemicals. And there are many other second order or even third order effects of this that almost nobody seems to be considering for some reason. But Iran was actually strategically quite brilliant in this by targeting energy infrastructure. Iran created an economic and industrial crisis across the world as a leverage point to motivate all the other countries around the world to pressure Trump to back off of this. All right. Now then, March 3rd, the attacks expanded to hotels and airports and also ports. And what this caused is it shattered the illusion of safety in countries like Qatar. And the way it achieved that, of course, is by, you know, hitting hotels and airports. Now, you think about cities like Dubai, which is, it has a reputation of being a very international city, a very safe city. It used to be you could go to Dubai and, you know, you weren't going to get robbed or mugged. It was a very safe city. It was a great place to go do even business deals and invest in crypto or whatever you were into. I've never been to Dubai, but if I were traveling, that would be a city that I would have previously wanted to visit just to see it, you know. But no longer. So now the reputation of Dubai is that, hey, if you visit here, you might get bombed. And also, you probably can't leave. And there are some wealthy people in Saudi Arabia and other countries, UAE, etc., that are paying reportedly, according to mainstream media reports, they're paying $350,000 to charter private jets to fly them out of those countries. Can you imagine that? Oh, I want a plane ticket. How much is it? $350,000. Like, how badly do you want to leave? You know, right? Of course, some of these guys that are the princes and royalty there, you know, they're so wealthy that they would probably say, can I pay in gold? And just, you know, bring a couple of gold bars, hand them over to the pilot. Fly me out of here or whatever. Yeah, some of them could probably do that. But this shows the desperation where people who have money are trying to flee. People who don't have that kind of money are stuck. Not only are they stuck, they're stuck in a situation where 80 to 90% of their food supply is cut off because the food comes in via ship through the Strait of Hormuz. On top of that, they're all subject to water scarcity because, of course, the whole region is a giant desert for the most part. And the water is provided through water desalination plants, which themselves are quite energy intensive, of course. But that also means a very limited amount of water that gets distributed to everybody in the region. And those water desalination plants are easy targets for Iran. As of right now, I don't have any information on whether Iran has specifically targeted water desalination plants in those countries. I'm not sure that they will. Maybe they will, but that would be, you know, that would be a humanitarian disaster, because now you're really clearly targeting civilian populations in a desert. That could cause mass death, technically, right? So we don't hope for any of that to happen, obviously. I'm hoping for peace and de-escalation. I want everybody to do well. I want people to be safe, have food and water, and, you know, grow your garden and raise your kids. But sadly, you know, Trump and Netanyahu lost their minds and wanted to start this war for some kind of weird, you know, Zionist zealotry, end times apocalyptic cult belief system or whatever they're into. And they think that they have to destroy Iran, you know, for Jesus to come back or something. They're just out of their minds. And so we're stuck with this, unfortunately. But getting back to the infographic here, what's interesting about all of this is that, you know, first Iran blinded the U.S. military, and then they carried out asymmetric economic warfare by striking the energy infrastructure that the West depends on. This shows a very deep understanding of the nature of the petrodollar. It's called the petrodollar because it's tied to oil, or petrochemicals, right, or petroleum. The petrodollar only exists because these Gulf states, such as Saudi Arabia, are willing to, or primarily, they sell energy in dollars. This creates dollar demand, and it allows these countries to recycle their dollars back into the purchases of U.S. Treasury debt, which allows Trump and others to print more currency, knowing that there are buyers in the Persian Gulf region who will continue to buy up all the debt, allowing us to print more money, okay? That's all based on the flow of energy out of the Persian Gulf, the flow of energy through the Strait of Hormuz. In other words, that one strait is the linchpin to the entire economic foundation behind the dollar debt pyramid Ponzi system right now. That's what Iran has come to realize. And that's why they are shutting down the strait. They understand the impact that this will have economically on weakening the dollar, weakening the United States, and also pitting the Gulf states against the U.S. And what it means is that in the long run, remember how I said that Trump has already lost this? In the long run here, Trump has lost America's footing in the Middle East. That American bases have been destroyed, but America's reputation has been destroyed in the Middle East. And that means that even countries like Saudi Arabia may begin to rethink, hey, what level of support should we have for the United States? Or should we really encourage buyers to purchase in other currencies, perhaps, you know, BRICS nations' currencies, rather than the dollar, since the U.S. didn't protect us? The U.S. kind of, you know, threw us overboard, actually, during this whole thing. And the situation could get even worse from here forward, which means there's going to be a lot of recalibration among these countries. There's also a risk that some of these countries may not survive with their current leadership in place. For example, there have already been several riots reported in Bahrain, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are, you know, as the situation gets worse, there could be many more uprisings, civil revolt in various countries, including in Saudi Arabia, which typically resorts to brutal crackdowns. But you could also see at some point the people of Iraq rising up against the U.S.-controlled puppet government of Iraq, and also a similar thing in Kuwait. It's hard to say, you know, what Qatar would do. It has a very deep relationship with the United States, but I think Qatar is also learning that the U.S. is a horrible friend. You know, with friends like that, who needs enemies, you know? So this is going to cause a rethinking and recalibration of the U.S. presence in the entire Middle East, even if Iran is defeated. But the other option here, or the other outcome, is what happens if Iran survives, if Iran is not destroyed, and the U.S. has to walk away with its tail between its legs, so to speak. Well, then that is a massive reputation loss for the United States and the military. What happens if a ship is sunk? What happens if a stealth bomber is shot down? Or what happens if there's casualties of 5,000 U.S. soldiers or sailors? Or if an aircraft carrier is severely damaged and has to sail back to port because it's no longer usable? Any of those kinds of events would collapse the credibility of the U.S. military, which currently operates on this assumption that the military is invincible. That's the way Trump always talks. We have the biggest, baddest, most beautiful military. It's unbeatable, you know. I mean, he talks like a belligerent, arrogant lunatic all the time about how no one can beat us. We're the greatest. We can do anything we want. Oh yeah? Well, how come you didn't defeat Russia then, huh? Yeah, because you can't. Because Russia has more artillery than you and better missiles and, you know, more industry, etc. But, you know, Trump's always full of bluster. He's always bluffing. And he's trying to pretend that the U.S. military is the most capable thing in the world. All it's going to take is one ship destroyed to end that mirage. Yeah, a mirage. A mirage in the desert, no less. And then the world will rethink, whoa, wow, the U.S. military is not invincible. Their ships are vulnerable. Their troops are not immortal. The U.S. can be defeated with better technology or better perseverance in this case. Just tolerating the bombing and, you know, paying the price domestically and loss of buildings and hospitals and schools and residential apartments. But as long as your people don't break, you still have not been defeated. So there's that risk to Trump. So given the two outcomes here, either outcome number one, America defeats Iran somehow, but it still loses influence and credibility in the region because that's already done. And the U.S. still suffers the economic consequences that are devastating and global, including among U.S. allies, such as the countries I mentioned before, like Taiwan, Japan, South Korea, etc., and the European countries. Or secondly, Iran survives, which is a victory, proving to the world that the credibility of U.S. power projection has now been shattered. Either way, Trump loses. I do not see an off-ramp where Trump can legitimately claim victory here. Now, of course, he will claim victory no matter what, and the White House spokesperson, what's her name, Leavitt or something, just typical liar, she will claim victory, but that's just... I mean, come on, those are just quotes for low IQ people. You know, the vaccinated population that watches Fox News or whatever. They're incapable of thinking. But nobody who has a brain is going to buy that. The U.S. is going to take some major reputation losses, and Trump is going to be seen as weak. Not strong, but weak and ineffective. And at some point, they'll be looking for someone to blame for this. And, you know, maybe it'll be Pete Hegseth, who was never qualified to be the Secretary of Defense, or war, as they now say. So, you know, maybe they'll sacrifice him, you know, make his head roll, so to speak, and fire him and have somebody else come in. And then they'll claim everything is fine. But the U.S. is going to take a loss one way or another. I don't see any way of extraction from this problem without the U.S. losing. Even if the U.S. comes out of this with a perceived win, there is a global economic cost that's already beginning to be felt and will continue to reverberate through the global economy for a long time to come. That cost will vastly exceed the cost of the war itself. In fact, right now, markets have been rattled around the world, including in South Korea, which has experienced maybe $1 trillion in losses, I'm just guessing, but markets are plunging in South Korea. Markets have been impacted in Japan and other places as well. We are talking about trillions of dollars in equity asset losses as a result of this war already. And so there's a cost shifting that's taking place. You know, Trump can launch a war and drop bombs and claim victory, but then everybody else pays the price for it. And those people are not happy about that. And all the industries that are shut down, not happy, etc. So watch out for the fallout effects of this. And I would imagine that 6 months from now, this war is going to be so unbelievably unpopular that all the people who promoted it and supported it are going to be rapidly deleting tweets and pretending like they never supported it in the first place. This war is going to get very unpopular very quickly. And Trump politically is in a suicide spiral, is what it looks like. And the GOP is going to get hammered in the midterms if this isn't turned around. In fact, from all the early, you know, the voting that recently took place, the primaries, etc., GOP voters are staying home more than ever before. And Democrat voters are coming out and showing up. So that's going to have a huge impact in the midterms. So if you want to see more of my infographics, you can read my articles at naturalnews.com. And each article there, most of them, have an infographic at the end of the article. In addition, you can follow my reports here at brightvideos.com. And I've got a lot more coming for you. Lots of reports, lots of lab tests coming up, as well as interviews and much more. So stay tuned and thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams. Take care. Yes, the world is getting crazy, but here at the Health Ranger store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved. Or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out, like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. healthrangerstore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount, and then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.